Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We continue our study on the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 tells us that the Christians in the church in Corinth, some of them in the past were fornicators. Some of them in the past were idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, lovers of riches, the good life, the soft life, lovers of money, abusers of themselves with mankind, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. They were such, but now they have been washed, they have been sanctified, they have been justified. Now they are fit for heaven. Now they can enter heaven because they have all been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God says, you remain behind. You remain behind to be my witnesses in the same mortal flesh that God gave to us at birth. First birth and the second birth. After salvation, God says, I do not want to give you a glorified body, even though the glorified body is suitable for the earthly environment, just as it is suitable for the heavenly environment. Because the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated that after his resurrection, he had a glorified body and he walked on earth for 40 days before his ascension. And so God could have given to us a glorified body that is powerful, that is strong, glorious, spiritual. It does not need to sleep. It does not need to rest. It is made of flesh and bones rather than flesh and blood. It is a body that will not need to die. It is a body that will not be affected by any diseases. God could have given to all his children such a body as we serve him on this earth. But he decides otherwise. The reason is obvious. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Everything that we do on this earth that is not of faith is sin. And so when you go out and give the gospel to someone, and they see you in this visible, glorified, spiritual, powerful body, they will want to accept Jesus Christ because of the body. And that is salvation by sight, not because of sin. And that is why God says, after our salvation, we have been washed, we have been justified, we have been sanctified, you can go to heaven immediately. But God says, no, you wait. I want to give you the honor and the privilege to now do the work of Christ, which Christ has begun when he came to this earth to die for you, to die for me. And God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and God has called Jesus Christ home, and he has ascended to heaven, and now he has entrusted the honor and the privilege of witnessing for Jesus Christ, carrying in this mortal, frail flesh, this body of ours, the image of Jesus Christ by an image of holiness. Stop murmuring, stop sinning, stop complaining, and start living a life of holiness. That's what God has decided, and God knows best for his children. Do not murmur and complain when you have to witness for Christ in a body that is not of your desire or choice. One day we will all grow old, and one day we will grow sick. And in sickness, you're going to lose your mobility. You're going to lose many of your five senses and your faculties. Are you going to murmur and complain that you don't want to witness in this state and condition? That would be a transgression, that would be a sin. Because in this state and condition, you could witness for the Lord Jesus Christ far greater and far more impactful than when you were healthy. See, when you are healthy, when you are wealthy, who cannot witness a wonderful witness for Christ? You are healthy and wealthy. The image of Jesus Christ as witnessed by someone who is healthy and wealthy would not be as strong, as impactful, and as bright as when this body of yours begins to frail, begins to grow old, begins to decay, and it will decay. No matter how strong you are today, you will grow old. And this body will decay. And by that time, hopefully your spiritual maturity, your inner man will have the maturity of faith to continue to bear a more godly witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby the image of Jesus Christ will shine brighter in this frail body of yours than ever before. This is why you are here. This is why all of God's children are here. And that is why it is so important for us to know this body of ours. If you do not know this body of yours, you and I are going to dictate terms, and you're going to demand from God how you want to witness for Christ in this world, in this body. And God says, you have no right to demand from me. I will have to decide for you. It is my right to determine for you what kind of body you are to be in to witness for me. But you must know your body. You must know that no matter how you take care of your body, you have to understand the constitution of your body, which you never did before. Before salvation, we thought that life is a life of luxury. And so everybody wants a life of wealth and a life of health. And people will tell you that if you have no health, your wealth is useless. If you have wealth, you must also have health. And if you have health, you must also want wealth. And this is the world's message. This is the world's message non-stop bombarding us from school life into adult life, right all the way right up to our coffin. And Jesus has one word to describe this kind of message from the world. Abomination. You don't believe? You look at Luke chapter 16. The message that we spoke this morning at the Mandarin service, a gospel message concerning the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus Christ gave that account of the rich man and Lazarus to rebuke the Pharisees, because the Pharisees were covetous. Covetousness means lover of money. And so the rich man, all he had and all he cared about was money and money and money. He lived in a big house, obviously, where Lazarus was at the gate, can't even enter. And the Bible described that his dressing was all the fine purple linen. The best clothes money could buy, he bought them, he had them. And all he cared about is expensive stuff, expensive garments, expensive dressing. Is that what you think about all the time? Is that what motivates you when you go out to work? To maintain your rich lifestyle? And as far as food was concerned, he could eat anything he wanted, a sumptuous meal every day. That's what Jesus said about this rich man. And then Lazarus, all he cared about was his faith. He had Abraham, so that's why when he died, he was in Abraham's bosom. He had faith like Abraham. Did he have money? Did he have wealth? No. All he desired was just the crumbs that fall out of the table, fall down from the table of the rich man. Crumbs are something that we don't even bother to pick up. That's why they're called crumbs. It drop, dirty, kick it away. Throw it away. That's all he desired, because once you have faith, you don't desire for wealth anymore. Sure, you want to live so that you can be a witness for Christ. But your heart's desire is not riches. If your heart desires riches because you think that this is what your body wants, then please check your salvation. Seriously. A person who is washed, a person who is sanctified, a person who is justified, will not think that way anymore. If you continue to measure yourself by the abundance of the possessions that you have, then you don't know Jesus Christ. You have not accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior if this is your thinking. This is a very serious transgression. Why do you think Jesus used that word abomination to describe covetousness? We live in a world where the Christianity that we are exposed to promotes such an abomination. We have pastors preaching from the pulpit telling members, if you believe in Jesus Christ who died for your sin, you'll be healthy and wealthy. Jesus Christ called this kind of gospel abomination. But not what thousands of people all over the world believe. This is charismatism. This is what the charismatics have been preaching and teaching, and thousands have been flocking to this kind of abominable message. Of course, they won't call it an abomination. Such message is an abomination because you seared the conscience of the person. You cause him to love the flesh, to lust after the things of the world. You cause him to indulge in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And now because you say that it is of God, he doesn't even feel bad anymore. His conscience has been burned, has been seared, cauterized. He doesn't even feel bad anymore because now you tell him, from your gospel, you believe in Jesus Christ, you'll be healthy and wealthy. It is a direct contradiction of everything that Jesus Christ preached and taught. Jesus Christ came to die on this earth, not to make you healthy and wealthy on this earth. He came to die for your sin, to deliver you from death and from hell. These people have lied to you, make you think that you are going to heaven by believing that you're going to be healthy and wealthy, and you're going to die, you're going to be like the rich man, completely oblivious to the sad state and condition that he was in. And he went to hell, and he was tormented by the flames in hell. And that's where you will head. That's where you and I will end up. So know your body. This body is only given to us after salvation for one thing and one thing only, and that is for witness. So what about this body of ours? Verse 12 tells us, this body that God has given to us to be his witness, now that you are born again, please note, all things are lawful unto me. That means this body is now given permission by God to do many things that are lawful. Now the word lawful is not the law of the land. The word lawful here refers to the law of the Bible. Everything that the Bible has given you permission to do, now that you are a child of God, you can do it. As long as it is not a sin, as long as it is not an immoral, criminal, unethical act, you can do it. There are many things that you can do in this body as you witness for Christ. All things are lawful unto me. However, you have to think carefully, because all things are not expedient. They may be allowed, but it may not be good for you. It may not be helpful to your witness for Christ. Even though it is okay for you to do it, it is according to scriptures, lawfully you can do it. All things are lawful for me, but there is this danger in our body that you have to acknowledge and realize. But I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, God wants us to witness for Christ in this body. So therefore, this body is very important. Because this body is the only thing that the people can see. They can't see your mind. They can't see your motive. They can see how this body conducts itself, how this body lives. And God says, this body in Christ now, you are allowed to do so many things. You have the liberty to do so many things that are found in scriptures. You can eat whatever food you want. Except you cannot eat blood by itself. You cannot eat food offered to idols. And the food offered to idols will be dealt with in greater detail from chapter 8 to chapter 10. You can do a lot of things now that you are a Christian. Many things. However, it is not expedient because this body of ours is addictive. This body of ours, even though we are allowed to do certain things, but when this body becomes addicted to that thing which the Bible says we can do, it controls us. And the moment it controls us, it becomes a problem. It becomes a sin. You have to know this body. This body is addictive. You love to exercise. There are people who are addicted to exercise. They cannot not exercise. Every day they must exercise, rain or shine. If they don't exercise, they get cold turkey. For me, if I exercise, I get cold turkey. For them, if they don't, they cannot help it. They must, rain or shine, thunderstorm or not. Sometimes you drive, you see people running in the rain. Why do they want to run in the rain? If they're caught halfway, understandable. But it's raining, cats and dogs, and they still jog. Because if they don't jog, something is not right in their body. They become very restless. They must run. They must go to the gym. They must exercise, no matter what. Come under the power. Computer games. There are some computer games. We live in a world where we play virtual games. And they invite all kinds of gadgets for us to play virtual games. And some games are not dangerous, but some games are. But most games are designed to be addictive. It's designed for that purpose. Otherwise, you will not play them, you will not buy them. And so if you don't have the discipline, even though that game may not be harmful, but because you are under the power of it, you've got to stop. You've got to stop. You've got to know your body. This body is addictive. Please understand this. Many of the things that we do can cause us to be addicted to them. It could be your food. It could be your eating. Some of us love to eat. And some of you have been blessed, perhaps, I don't know whether it's a blessing or not, to have a tongue that can taste everything. Right? Everything. You give them a spoon of a gravy. They can describe for you all the ingredients that make up this gravy. And they will be right. They'll be right. And so they love good food. And so they are prepared to do anything for good food. I received a phone call. One day somebody asked me, Amika, you want to go and eat this very nice abalone, you know, noodle soup, abalone. I say, sure, why not? I say, what time? 10 p.m. 10 p.m.? So late. Come, 10 p.m. I where? Johor some more. I'm serious. 10 p.m., Johor. I say, where do you stay? East Coast. You want to drive from East Coast all the way to Woodlands Causeway, and he said, 10 p.m., by the time we get there, 11 p.m., sure, no jam, don't worry, very fast we go through. And then you go there and you eat. Very nice bowl of abalone noodle soup. Don't worry, there are a lot of Singaporeans there. And true, a lot of Singaporeans there. And they will go there and they will eat, and they'll spend at least 30 minutes to chit-chat and to eat, and then some eat dry, some eat it in soup form. They love it. And they will do it. And remember, these are not unbelievers, these are Christians. Okay, Christians. They have done it a few times before. Not just once. It's like a practice. There's this desire. And so they will drive, and then they will come back past midnight. Obviously. But it's okay, they say. It's delicious. It's worth it. And then now with our powerful, strong dollar, they charge maybe $7-$8 ringgit. You divide by 3, it's worth it. And they will go. What about the time? And now you have the VEP, right? Maybe not so worth it anymore. But there are people who has this desire, this urge to do something. Is it wrong to eat abalone? No, of course not. Is it wrong to exercise? No, of course not. Is it wrong to play computer game per se? Of course not in itself. If the game is not bad, if the game is not evil, but these are all addictive. This body of ours is a body that is addictive. You have to acknowledge it, because if you don't acknowledge this, you're not going to begin to fix it. If you cannot control everything that this body does, then you have already crossed the line. Everything that this body does must be under your control. You want to play computer game? Tell yourself the discipline. All right, no more than 15 minutes a day, maximum. And then the moment 15 minutes comes, you stop. Doesn't matter what stage, what level. You give yourself a fixed time. Whatever you do on this earth that pertains to this body, you have to know that it is addictive. This body of ours can be snared, can be trapped, whereby you come under the power of whatever it is. The moment you come under the power, that thing becomes your master. That thing becomes your master. It could be a job. It could be a job whereby you're prepared to do anything for that job. If I have to give a prayer meeting for that job, I give a prayer meeting. There is no such thing as addictive to prayer. Pray without ceasing. That's not called an addiction. When it comes to Christ, the more you do it, the more you love Him, you don't use it to come under the power. You should come under the power of Christ. You come under the power of the Word. You come under the power of the love of Christ. These are good. But when you come under the power of the flesh, that is dangerous. Even though it may be lawful, even though it may be biblical, but the moment it controls you, you're going to be in trouble because it will cause you not to do what is right because you are now under the control of that fleshly thing that you are now under the power of. You are prepared to break the word of God because this body of yours says, I must do it. I must do it. Know that this can happen to every one of us. And once you know it, you tell yourself, I will not do anything that will tarnish and damage the image of Christ in my life. No matter what, control your body. Don't let your body control your desires, the five senses. Very, very important. Sometimes you watch some of this cereal, right? Whether Korean or whatever country. It is designed to be addictive. They normally will end on a cliffhanger, right? So that you will want to watch the next one. And then they'll end another one, next one. Then before you know it, 4 hours already, 3 a.m. You got caught. And then the next morning, you still have to do your housework, you still have to do everything, and now you're short-tempered. You don't have enough sleep. You won't do that when you pray. You won't do that when you have a burden, a desire to pray for someone who is very sick. You didn't have this fast and pray without ceasing throughout the whole night. None of these spiritual desire, but carnal desire, the cliffhanger kind. You have just come under the power of that movie. And it has controlled you. Or the movie is not bad. It's not wrong. It's not about something evil. It may be about family. It may be about some relationship. But to come under the power of that thing, it has caused you to lose your witness and your testimony because the next morning you become grouchy, short-tempered to your husband, to your children, or to your spouse, or to whoever. And they've got to go to work and you become short-tempered. And then before you know it, the image of Jesus Christ has been damaged. So know your body. This body of ours is addictive. We are talking about things that are lawful. Things that are sinful, you don't even do at all. But things that are lawful, whatever that you are addicted to, you know. Whatever I'm addicted to, I know. I have to struggle with it. You have to struggle with yours. We all have this body of ours. As long as we live on this earth, this danger will remain. Because this is the body, the only body that God has given to us to carry this image of Jesus Christ in. No other body. And so you have to know it well. Whatever thing that is on this earth that is allowed in the Bible, you control it. Don't let it, that thing, controls you. Don't come under the power of that thing. For Jesus Christ's sake, for the image of Jesus Christ that you bear, please, it will affect you. It will impact you. It's designed for that. This is this body. It impacts the things of the world. We came out of the things of the world, and therefore the things of the world will impact us directly. The glorified body is not made of the things of the world, and therefore we will become very detached from it. We will not come under the power of any of the things of the world in glorified form. But as long as God says, I want you to remain on this earth and continue to witness for me in this mortal flesh can come under the power of any of these things that are of this earth, even though they are lawful, but you must not let it control you. Second thing to note, verse 13. Meats for the belly for the meats. All right? Meats for the belly means this body needs food to survive. And belly for the meat. This body is designed for food. And we need food for energy, for strength, for health. But God shall destroy both it and them. So the next thing to note is this body will die. Why do you exercise? Why do you want to eat carefully? Why do you want to control your diet? Why do you want to control your cholesterol? Why do you try to do all kinds of things to your body to keep yourself as healthy as possible, to push as far away as possible from your life any kind of ailment, any kind of sickness that may slow you down? And so you try to live as healthy a life as possible. You count your calories. You make sure that whatever you eat is as organic as possible, and you make sure you have your program of exercise on a regular basis. Why do you want to keep healthy? If you are keeping healthy for the sake of keeping healthy, then you have missed the point. Because no matter how healthy you keep yourself, because that is what it means by pushing death away from your life, farther and farther away. If your job for keeping healthy is to push death away, you're going to lose. Because no matter how you keep healthy, death will one day catch up to you and it will die. You will die. So the next thing you have to know about this body of yours is you're going to die. It doesn't matter what kind of good food you eat, no matter how organic that food you're going to eat, no matter how healthy you are right now, you're going to die. And that is something that is certain. And that's what the Bible here wants us to know. God shall destroy both it, this body of yours, as well as the food that you eat inside your body. This food that you eat in your body can give you strength. But one day, no matter how strong, no matter how much food you eat, no matter how good the food you eat, no matter how good your calories are and how you count your calories and keep your blood pressure in check, you're going to die. All of us are. Know this fact, please. Know this reality. And once you recognize and know this reality, then the next part is live carefully. Live carefully for Christ. And that's why the Bible here says, now the body is not for fornication, it's not for any kind of sin or transgression, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. If you are keeping yourself healthy so that you can become a more effective witness for Christ, to become a more effective servant of Christ, by all means. There are a lot of people out in the world who wants to be healthy. Some for vanity's sake. They want to look good. They want to look good to attract people who look at bodies. And so they look good. They have this, six-pack, eight-pack, right? And they will show off. And those who like to wear those muscle tee are those t-shirts without any sleeve to show their muscle. And so they go to the gym. And so when they walk, they make sure that people see that they have good, strong biceps. And these are the people who are very vain. They do this in order to attract people who are desirous to see people with six or eight packs and good muscles. And that's why people keep healthy, for this kind. Some of them for job. They can be very, very good actors and actresses with this kind of body, or they can help in the fashion world. But no matter what, they will all die. And some, they keep healthy to indulge in sin, which is worse. To indulge in sin. They keep healthy so that they can drink. They keep healthy so that they can smoke. They keep healthy so that they can gamble. They keep healthy so that they can commit fornication. So they keep healthy for all kinds of terrible, terrible transgressions. So they keep healthy to sin more. So you as a Christian, why do you want to keep healthy? Know that whatever you put into your body, you will die. Please understand this. This body of us will die. And then when you die, you're going to have to give an account to God from the day you are born again in Christ until the day you die. That period of your life, how have you carried the image of Jesus Christ? How have you done it? Before salvation, it does not matter, because before salvation, you never carried the image of Christ. It was a life of sin. And after salvation, Christ has already washed away all your sins, and those years are gone forever. They will not come back. Whatever period of time that you have left from the day you are born again in Christ until the day you die, you count and you ask yourself, you have this body that God has given to you, God has entrusted to you, in whatever state or condition, it will stop breathing one day. That means the time and the minutes you can witness for Christ, they are limited. So with every passing day, it's one day shorter, one day fewer that you could witness for Christ. It's not going to come back. And then when tomorrow comes and you spend tomorrow, it's another one day gone. Now we are already in the month of August. Tomorrow is August the 1st. Just imagine, very soon we are going to celebrate Christmas again. And then before you know it, it will be Easter, and then it will be another church camp. The year just simply flies by very, very quickly. You ask yourself, how have you been living for Christ in this mortal flesh, knowing that one day your time of witness for Christ will come to an end? It is not unlimited. If you have not been witnessing for Christ, and if you have been a Christian, let's say the age of 40 and now you are 60, and out of these 20 years you have been a Christian, how many of those 20 years you could really, really say, I have exalted and magnified Jesus Christ in my life? How many of those minutes of those 20 years, minus those hours you slept, how many will God be pleased with your life? You have been saved for one purpose only, and it is definitely not to enjoy life for the sake of enjoying life. Now that I have a place in heaven, someone promised you, now I can do what I want. You feel like it, I go on a holiday. I feel like it, I go skiing. I feel like it, I go tennis. I feel like it, I just enjoy life. I have a place guaranteed for me in heaven, and that is assured. I can never lose the place in heaven. Somebody promised me that, and now I can do what I want on this earth, and so I keep healthy to enjoy more life. I go and eat food. I dress in expensive clothes. I enjoy life. And then when I stop breathing, after I've enjoyed the fullness of my life here on earth, I will go to heaven. Where do you find this doctrine? This doctrine is not taught in scriptures. That person who gave you that promise has lied to you. And you've already wasted enough time on earth by living that kind of witness for Christ. You're not here to enjoy life, to fulfill the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes after salvation. If you are truly born again in Christ, you cannot live that kind of life. Your own conscience, the Spirit of God indwells you, will not allow you. It will convict you. You'll be miserable like Lot. Lot was miserable. He wanted to enjoy the fine life of city life in Sodom. He thought it was a good life. He wants the convenience of city life. He brought his whole family in Sodom. But the Bible tells us that he was vexed every morning. He knew it was a life of great physical comfort, but it was a life of great sorrow and sin. And there was no peace in his heart. If you are truly born again in Christ and you're going to indulge yourself in the things of the flesh and the things of the world, you cannot have peace in your heart. And if you have peace in your heart, that means there is no Spirit of God in you. You are dead inside. And whoever promised you that you have a place in heaven, he has lied to you. You better accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior right now to begin your journey of salvation. Because what you had in the past is just that you think you are saved. And you and I know that you and I are not saved because we say we are. You and I know that we are not children of God because we think we are. We are children of God because we obey the will of my Father which is in heaven, and that will of my Father which is in heaven is found in God's word. Who said these words? Jesus said so. Matthew 7:21. Who are the ones who will enter into the kingdom of heaven? The ones who will do the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so where is the will of God the Father in heaven found on this earth? The Bible. And so the Bible says, this is what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 6. You witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you are left here on earth. You're not here allowed to do whatever you want. Even though God says you can do so many things, you must not come under the power of any of these things. Please understand, this body will die. That's why you have to live only for the Lord. Verse 13, but for the Lord and the Lord for the body. You cannot live for yourself anymore in Christ because you feel so grateful and so thankful to God for saving you out of the bondage of sin and death and hell. And a person who is so filled with gratitude and thanksgiving, he will not want to live in sin. He will not live in carnality. He will not indulge in the things of the flesh. He can't. The Spirit of God inside him will not allow him. And if he persists like Lot, he will be miserable. He cannot smile. He cannot walk around and say that all is well with my soul. All is sick in my soul. Because I am living a life of carnality and in sin, and how can you experience the peace of God in carnality? Impossible. The Bible cannot be wrong. And that means you are wrong. Because you must live for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. nobody else. You cannot be your own Lord and control your body and do what you want. That means I cannot go on holiday. Sure, by all means, go on a holiday. This body also needs rest. That's why we need to sleep. This body needs food. This body needs drink. By all means, go on a holiday, but don't think that you are living for holidays. Holiday is to recharge your body so that when you come back, you are rested, you can serve with renewed love and zeal and fervency. This body needs rest. God knows it. And so if a holiday with family, with friends, can give you the kind of restful respite so that you can be re-energized and come back afresh to serve all over again with renewed energy, by all means. But don't live for holidays. Don't just live to enjoy, 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 and that's all you do. And when you go on holiday, try to take every opportunity to witness for Christ, to be a godly testimony to your brothers and sisters in Christ who are now accompanying you on holiday. Don't come back as enemies. Don't come back and, I can't stand this person. We left as best friends, but we come back as worse enemies. What happened? I want to go this my way. I want to do that my way. Where is your Christian witness and testimony? What kind of holiday is that brings two best friends back as worst enemies? Because both were not Christ-like. Both were not Christ-like. You are left here on earth after salvation with one purpose, to live for the Lord and cherish every day, every moment, to live for the Lord. If your children are not living for the Lord, if they are wayward and you put your name there, you put their names there on the prayer list, wayward, you better pray for them. Seriously, pray for them. Seriously, pray for them. Fast and pray if necessary. They are walking on very thin ice. If they were to die in their sin right now, all we can do is just to erase their name from the prayer sheet. No longer on earth, cannot pray for them anymore. But where will they end up? In heaven or in hell? One day you will find out. Right now on earth, you can only hope. You can only hope because you also do not know. You just put their name there. As if by putting their name on the prayer list, they are safe, they are not safe. Their name has to be written in the book of life. On the prayer list, we pray for them. But that's it. You don't want to put them under salvation. You put them under spiritual condition because you think, you hope that they are saved. And so we pray that they are as God's children, and so we can only pray for chastisement. But if they are not God's children and you want to put them under spiritual condition instead of salvation, and we pray for chastisement when we should have been praying for salvation, our prayers have gone awry. We pray for chastisement when we should have prayed for salvation. So why do you not want to put them under salvation? Why? Because you think they are safe. So you think they are safe, therefore they are safe. Don't play the fool with God. Don't play the fool with salvation. Don't play the fool with the souls of men, women, and children. This is serious. Know your body, it's going to end in death. That is an end for everyone. No exception. If it's not tomorrow, if it's not today, it will be one day. Our life here on earth is not meant to be forever. No matter how good this body is so good that in the Bible it reveals to us that this body could live for 800-900 years. That's how God has made this body so strong. But they still die. And they die not because this body just simply gave up. They die because of sin. And that is the only reason why this body dies, because of sin. No other reason. This body does not die because of age. This body died because of sin. We age because of sin. Please understand this. This body is a powerful, strong body made in the image of God. And the reason why we are reminded daily that this body is dying is because you are sick. Every time you fall sick, it is a stark reminder that you are dying. And every time you pray for healing, you are asking God to extend your life, just as Hezekiah prayed for healing, asked God to give him another 15 years. And God has healed you. You ask yourself, right? God has healed you. What are you doing with your life after God has healed you? In the case of Hezekiah, he transgressed. So what's the point of healing? And then you go and transgress. you might as well go home. Because heaven is a safer place, it's a far more beautiful place than anything that you can find on this earth. Remember this earth, Satan is the god of this world. Satan has millions of his followers on this earth doing his bidding. He controls the air, he controls the internet, he controls government, he controls armies. You might as well go home if you're going to live on this earth as God's children and sin. Know your body, it is addictive to the things of this world. Don't come under the power of any. Know your body that it will die one day. So spend it wisely for the Lord and the body for the Lord and the Lord for the body. Nobody else. Live for the Lord. Let your body be a godly witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. In whatever state or condition that God has given to you, let it reflect the holiness of God. Don't murmur and complain that I must and only will be a godly witness when I can walk and run and I'm healthy. You don't put conditions to your God, to your Savior, to your Heavenly Father on how you want to witness for Him. Let Him decide for you because He knows you better than you know yourself. This body, no matter how fit, it will give up. Don't let your last breath be a breath of regret. Let it be always a day of joy, and every breath you breathe out of your body, it is one of praising the Lord for His goodness and for the salvation work that He has wrought in your heart. And stop indulging in self-pity. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every moment of every day is precious because it will soon be over. And even if you want to do it, you can't. Like the rich man, he wants to be the greatest evangelist in hell. He says to Abraham, send Lazarus back from the dead because I have 5 more brothers who have not yet believed in Christ and they are living the life of luxury just as I did and I don't want them to join me in hell. But what's Abraham's reply? If they don't listen to God's word, they will not even listen if someone comes back from the dead. Because they must believe by faith, not by sight. The power is still in the word of God. And that's what you must reflect in your body to the people around you. To let them see the power of the love of God, to see the power of Jesus Christ. And let them see and let them know how wonderful a Savior that can also save them. And finally, know that this body is going to be eternal. Verse 14. And God had both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power. Of course, not this same body. This body will die. But God has prepared for us an eternal body. Understand this. Know your body. This body in this mortal flesh and blood is temporal. But God has designed for all His children an eternal body to dwell in the eternal environment called the new heaven and new earth. This is what awaits you. This is what awaits you so much so that the Apostle Paul was able to say, having experienced persecution of the persecution, shipwreck, scourging 3 times, each time 39 strokes. His body was whipped, his body was stoned, his body was imprisoned, and they did a lot of things to abuse this body in order to damage his witness for Christ. And he says that all the punishment that this body of mine had to bear, it is nothing compared to the glory that awaits me. And this must be our thinking, our understanding, and our experience too. So don't live for the carnality of the 5 senses of this body. Don't live for the flesh. Live for eternity. This body of ours will die, but God will give to us and replace us with a glorified body that is strong, that is powerful, that is spiritual, that is eternal. And that awaits us. Now with this wonderful, wonderful hope waiting for you, does that not make your life and your testimony for Christ in this body worth it? Well, that in whatever state and condition that you are in right now in this mortal flesh, it's not going to be your body for eternity. This body will have to suffer for Jesus Christ's sake. And so therefore, this body will have to suffer pain, deprivation, whatever the Lord sees fit. If I have to suffer diseases and feel the pain and continue to witness and rejoice in Christ, no matter how painful it might be to me in this body, so be it. It's worth it all. because what awaits is an eternal body that God has promised us because God did so in Christ. Christ was resurrected. He was given a resurrected body. And since we are all in Christ, Jesus Christ died for me. And therefore, what is in store for me is also a resurrected body. And this is our blessed hope. This is guaranteed. Just as Jesus Christ rose from the dead, so will we one day. And I hope that you will know this body. It is very precious and important, only for witness on earth. It is not meant to be eternal. Spend your time on this earth carefully and preciously. It's not going to increase. It is fixed. How many hours we have on this earth after salvation until the Lord calls us home, the Lord knows. Spend it carefully and wisely for Jesus' sake. Live a life of holiness. Stop murmuring, stop complaining. Live a life of holiness that when people look at your life, people will think of Christ. When your life on earth is done, when people remember you, they remember Christ. They remember the wonderful Savior. And what a life you have lived for Him. So know this body. It is very, very important. This is the body that God wants you to witness for Christ in. Take care of it in terms of holiness. You want to keep healthy by all means, but let it be healthy for greater effectiveness in service. Not healthy to sin more, not healthy to indulge in your own carnal desires, but let us all try our best to get healthily. Keep yourself healthy by exercise, by having enough rest, but never coming the power of addiction. Let it be live for the Savior so that you can be healthy for Christ to be more effective. Because when you are overweight, you get tired easily. When you don't take care of your body, you get tired easily. When you don't have enough sleep because you play too much game, you watch too much of this cereal, you don't have enough sleep, enough rest, you get tired, you cannot witness effectively. Take care to be a greater effective witness for Christ. And knowing that when this body dies, a body that you have lived for the Lord, God will raise it up and give you a brand new, eternal, spiritual, glorified body as He has described for us in 1 Corinthians 15. So this is our body that God wants us to know, that He says, I want you to witness for me in. Witness well. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for life, and we thank Thee for eternal life. For the first birth and for the second birth. And we pray, O Lord, that as long as you have saved us and allow us to remain on this earth, may we know this body of ours well, such that we will not come under the power of any, whereby it will cause us to sin against thee, because we have allowed our carnal desires to break God's holy word, God's holy commandment. Forgive us. Help us to also know, Lord, that this body will one day perish. It is not meant to last forever. May we not live to fulfill the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. May we live only for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And we thank Thee, Father, for the wonderful hope that one day we will all be given a brand new body, eternal, spiritual, powerful. And help us to know that this is what awaits all those who are your children. Help us to make sure of our own salvation. And if any one of us continue to live in a willful manner, only for self and for carnal desires, convict such a person and cause this person to come and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.